Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, May 31st, 2020. Hope you're enjoying a safe Sunday afternoon. On this day in 1983, the Philadelphia 76ers delivered to the city of Philadelphia a championship. And on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast is Coach Cunningham, the man who helped orchestrate that. Coach, how are you? And thank you so much for joining us.
Dee, it's always a pleasure. I dropped everything for you. And make sure you say hello to Dad. And I have one other request.
Yes.
A friend of Dad's and yours, Bill Raftery, said, make sure you say hello for me.
I've completed that.
So when you see him, tell him I said it.
Well, I'm playing golf with him tomorrow, so I will absolutely tell him.
Oh, great.
Yes.
How many strokes do you have to give him?
I know. Can you believe he's starting to make me do that? I don't think it's fair. Before I get to questions, I have to say, please tell Sandra and your daughters and your grandkids, I hope they're all good, and that I was asking for them.
Everybody is good, sweetheart. Thank you so much, and hopefully your whole family is doing well and staying safe.
Yes, we're doing the best in some tough times,
yeah,
for sure.
Some tough times after last night.
Yes, absolutely. All right, can we go to a time that was a little different, and it was a while ago, but you're going into Game 4 on this day back in 1983. You're on the road. You're up 3-0. How confident were you that a sweep was coming?
I had no confidence at all that that was going to happen.
Wow.
I had, I guess, coming close, because we had been to the finals a few other times.
Yep.
Knowing that any little thing that could happen could just throw everything out of kilter. And, Dee, it was kind of funny because after the game, I guess about an hour and a half after the game or so, I was in my room watching films. And Harold Katz comes by, and he's obviously excited, and I'm excited that we're up 3-0, don't get me wrong. And he said, come on, let's go have a good time, it's all over. I said, Harold, there's no way I'm going. You go have a good time. I got a lot of work to do. And fast forward, we get to the next day, and we have a shoot-around.
Okay.
And the one and only Al Domenico, who's not with us.
Rest his soul. God, I like that man.
Came over and said, we got an issue. He said, Moses cannot exhale. He got hit in the back and the rib, and it's affected his lungs.
Whoa.
And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. So I go over and I said, Mo, how are you feeling? Because we're going to take him to the hospital. And he looked at me and he said, don't worry, Coach. He said, Kareem doesn't want to see me anymore. And so thank God he was able to play the next day. And he was just off by one, that four.
Yes, four. That's right.
Now,
I'm looking at the box now that you tell me he was not necessarily 100%. Of course, not the day before. He played 45 minutes.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. He was an amazing athlete. He had an amazing mentality that he just truly believed that by the fourth quarter, he would have worn you out. And now he was really going to take advantage of you. And he did it so often, and especially on the offensive rebounding. There's never been a better offensive rebounder than Moses Malone in the history of the game.
Wow. And that night, he had eight of his 23 came on the offensive glass. That is, yeah. I mean, you speak the truth, which I didn't doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you, because when I went to the box, obviously Moses delivered. He had the 20-20, meaning 24-23. But Andrew, while he didn't shoot a high percentage, got to the line for you. He had 23. Mo Cheeks, 7 of 10. I wouldn't have even known he had scored that much.
Right.
And then, of course, Dr. J. So your top guys all delivered. Did you come to expect that from that group?
Oh, yes. Oh, there's no question. More so, not from the offensive end. We were truly built as a defensive ball club with our quickness. And the attitude was, I remember the day Moses signed with us, and I was sitting with him in New York City, and he's about to sign this huge contract. And I said, and I explained to him what we would want to do, and that was for him to dominate the defensive boards and get it out and let us run as much as we could. And then if we got to the set offense, we're going to look to get the ball into you.
Right.
And he said, Coach, that's what I expect to do for this team. And he truly produced as well as anybody could have in one season.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. I mean, and when you look at having been there but not been able to get over the hump, so to speak, you look to him, and that's a lot of pressure on somebody coming into that situation, and yet he delivered on so many levels.
Yeah, and he was, when we first made the trade, we, Darryl Dawkins, Colwell Jones, Steve Mix, left us that year.
Yep.
And many of the players on the team were not excited about that because we lost in the finals the previous year and actually had a real chance. And but after like three days of training camp, they understood what he was going to bring to this team, that they, those three fine players, don't get me wrong, couldn't do, and that was a real physical presence, which we were lacking during that period of time.
Sure. One other thing I noticed was, you know, so it's a game that's going along, but in the fourth quarter, and because you mentioned that it was a team built defensively, you end up outscoring the Lakers 33-15. So I'm just curious if that was brought up before the fourth started. Look, we have to turn it up a notch defensively.
I think if you looked over the whole playoff series, the 13 games that we played, there might be one or two games that we were leading at halftime. It was almost like a leader like Julius Erving or the team would be like, okay, let's get going. And they knew exactly what they were going to have to do. And I think we had them pretty well prepared on what to expect when they went out on the court. And, you know, we hear of the great quickness and athleticism today, but if you look at Bobby Jones and Julius Erving and Cheeks and Tony and Moses, that's an awfully quick team.
Yep.
I can't imagine two better forwards or quicker forwards running a fast break than Bobby Jones and Julius Erving in today's basketball. So we really relied on that, and the players embraced it. That was... they got great joy and satisfaction out of it. And to do that, it's a great deal of sacrifice. And they were willing to sacrifice a little of themselves for the team.
I'm curious of what it was like to bring then that trophy, the championship, back to the city of Philadelphia. And if you have any recollections of the actual parade, because that was a celebration in this city that everyone was a part of. And granted, it was a long time ago.
It was. It was first after the game. It was. I think I hear it from every coach that's ever won at any sport. First, it's a relief.
I can see that. Most coaches would definitely feel that.
Yeah, you know, with your dad and family, but
sure,
it's a relief, and then you're ecstatic. And I think I was more ecstatic. Not only for the team, but for Julius Erving.
Yes.
Because that put the seal on his career, a stamp of greatness that he had won a couple in the ABA, and he wins the world championship in the NBA and came so close several times. And in that game, it just showed his greatness because Julius in game four, it's something I remember, not all the things in the games, but he really struggled offensively in that game until the last 3 or 4 minutes. And I still remember the jump shot that he hit from foul line extended. And boom, that just put us over the hump, and it was all history from that point on.
Well, those are good memories for us, Coach. I appreciate your time. It's hard to believe it was 37 years ago, but it's nice to remember. And actually, you know, they did play the whole, all four games this week on NBC Sports Philadelphia. So people who maybe didn't get to see it or weren't alive back then got to see what a special team that was.
Yeah, and I had my granddaughter. She taped it for me, so I'm looking forward to when I get back to Philly. When that virus gets a little better, that we'll be back in Philly and get a chance to watch it myself.
Excellent. Billy, take care of yourself. Tell your wife I did say hello, and, you know, safe and health, good health to you all.
You and your family too, sweetheart, and all the listeners for your station.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Bye-bye. Thanks for being on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. The great Billy Cunningham, who was part of the team that won a championship many years ago, but on this day. And it was a great team. And I love hearing the inner work. I had no idea about Moses Malone the day before. And when he mentioned Al Domenico, Al Domenico was the trainer for the team, who was quite the character and such, leaves a lot of good memories for those of us who knew him back in the day. But I had no idea that he had, that trouble and was having trouble breathing. So he certainly delivered. I want to go back and see that season. Because I know from an offensive rebounding standpoint, Coach Cunningham is so right. Him, nobody better than Moses Malone. But I'm going to bet that Moses led the league in rebounding that year. It's interesting because Moses basically, not in the exact same way, but he delivered to Philadelphia what Kawhi did to Toronto. You know, you get traded and they needed something to, in the case of Toronto, LeBron had constantly been in their way in the East. And, you know, but maybe they weren't good enough. And just as Billy Cunningham pointed out about those three guys that got traded, it wasn't that they weren't good players, really good players, but Moses takes it to a different level. DeMar DeRozan was a good player. Kawhi takes it to a different level. So, you know, but imagine you're just basically going into for the 1 year to get it done, kind of. It ends up that way. So what an interesting team. And the Andrew Toney part of it, I'm always fascinated. I've actually gotten to speak to Andrew. He's never come back to, like, be in the building. And they had a tough relationship the way it ended because his feet were bad. And back in the day, people didn't understand what that plantar fasciitis was or how debilitating it could be. But I did once, I talked to him when we were in Atlanta, because that's where he lives. And I went over and talked to him, not to be on camera with him. I told him I just wanted to say hello. And he still was playing at the YMCA every day. Cheeks used to play over here at, I guess it's the Biltmore. It's on Broad Street right there in the building where, like, the Palm and whatnot is. Cheeks would play noon hoops there, and Andrew Toney was doing the same at the Y in Atlanta well into their 50s, which I thought was hysterical. It's good stuff, but that's, like, the true gym rats of I wonder if players today will be gym rats when they're out of the game, like those guys are. I find that a lot of people now, you switch. Like, I know, like, a Steph Curry, I don't think he would do that. He'll go to the golf course, right? Pick up something different.
Yeah, you know, the one position in all of sports that I think that seemed to be that way is the offensive lineman in football. I mean, you see so many times, like, guys like Joe Thomas, who are over 300 pounds in their playing careers, they've lost 50, 60, 70 pounds because they're not eating like they were all the time, and they're still hitting the gym. And, you know, they lose all this weight.
Right.
It's like, you were an offensive lineman?
It's so funny you say that. So we had our neighbor, because, you know, I had the deck, came over last night. I never knew. I mean, I know him now. He's a grown-up, and he's in business. But I didn't know he had played football at Penn. He was on the defensive line. And his fiance said, he was a little bigger back then. I thought to myself, I'm sure he was.
Just a little bit, huh?
Yeah, right? Because you're not doing that anymore.
I mean, the amount of meals that those guys have to eat to stay that big.
Yeah,
is
but they're incredible. Also, but they're also, you need it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, three and a half hour workouts or practices, and then go work out, then play the games.
Yeah.
That's a crazy schedule to live.
So Moses Malone led the league in rebounding. Wow, do you know his 1 year? Oh, my goodness. His 1 year in Houston. I'm just going to tell you it's a really big number. What do you think he averaged rebounding-wise?
Per game?
Yep.
17.
Yep, 17.6.
Really?
And seven of them at the offensive end. Oh, my God. The next year, he averaged 7 at the offensive end again and 7.5 on the defense. So it dropped to 14.5, and that did not lead the league. And then he led the league for 5 consecutive years.
Is that all? Just a little bit under 15?
That's amazing. Unbelievable.
I wanted to ask you, if you don't mind.
Yep.
You know, right, everybody talks about Rodman being, you know, this great rebounder.
Sure.
I didn't get a chance to see Moses Malone play.
Mm.
How do they compare?
Well, Moses is a better all-around basketball player. And
I mean, just from the rebounding position.
No, I got you. So I just wanted you to know. So part of that and his ability around the offensive glass, he grabbed everything. But then he finished. So it wasn't just his work on the glass, so to speak, and then finding somebody. He actually, for the big man that he was, I thought he was incredibly fluid. You know, I know Billy said they were running, you know, we need you to rebound and we'll run. I felt like they still would find him. And he was very tenacious on the glass. Now, they were different eras. I would have to run it by my dad, because he was around. Ben Wallace, he coached at one point, and you know, Ben was a tenacious rebounder too. But I'm going with Billy. I've never seen anybody on the offensive glass like Moses. And those numbers, to average better than 7 on the offensive glass, is, I'm not sure they kept the stats, so I'll be able to figure out where that was in terms of the league. It's got to be up there. I'm seeing 7. Yeah. In terms of where that was, that it gives you overall rebounding and where he stood each year, but I don't have offensive rebounding. 610-632-0975. So those were good memories, and that was a good time in terms of being able to celebrate in this city, and it's good to think that there will be a time again where we will be able to do that in a way that is peaceful, celebratory, community sharing something good. And it's nice to remember that we did it. We've done it since. We did it with, let's see, since 83. Obviously, the Eagles in 2017 and the Phillies. Am I missing any? No. Definitely not. We need another one. We need another, what, did I miss one?
No, so we have some Moses offensive rebound numbers for you.
Oh, go ahead, give them.
All right, so.
Knock me out.
I'll tell you this. This is NBA/ABA, so both leagues.
Oh, okay.
Artis Gilmore is in second all-time with 4,816.
Offensive rebounds.
Offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
Moses Malone is in first with 7,382. That's 2,500 more than the next guy.
I mean, that's what I said. The guy was a beast. Did I ever tell you my Moses Malone story of post-basketball? I do remember the last time I interviewed him before he passed. I did an article. It was during when Joel Embiid was still hurt. So it probably is his second season, because the whole injury thing was happening. And I remember like saying, hey, Mo, do you mind? I'm going to write an article about you know, big men, and are big men more susceptible just because of the pounding a bigger butt? And so I did that. That was the last time I got to interview him. But I got to participate in a charity poker tournament that was Texas Hold'em. Chris Webber was throwing it at the time. I was still doing sideline, whatnot. So we all go out to Las Vegas, and I had never, I don't play cards. I mean, I read up on Texas Hold'em. But I sat next to Moses, and basically Moses guided me at key times. He wasn't looking, you know, he would just give me an elbow. He didn't want it looking like I didn't know how to play. And I had done my homework, but he was very helpful. And I had a good time, and he's not a man of many words, you know, but he was a really nice, nice guy. So that was my non-basketball story of Moses Malone. And he was great. I should go and find that article I wrote, because he was very insightful just on what it took on the body. I mean, you know who else always talks about the influence is what Charles Barkley, the influence Moses had on him as a rookie in, like, hey, you got to get in shape. So, yeah. And he produced numbers. Just the 3,000 plus to the second all time is to Artis Gilmore. And you say that name and people think, you know, big time also, but not to the degree that Moses won. So they won a championship and it was on this day. 610-632-0975. We've also had a few people tweet at us some of the summer things that are available and those that aren't. And apparently, I guess with the beaches, it does go beach to beach, even within a state. And then obviously state to state. But some of them are definitely not allowing people in the water. And soon, more of the beaches will allow people, at least in this area, to be able to go and sit on the beach, but you won't be able to go in the water still. And I guess they enforce that by you would still have to have lifeguards just to make sure nobody goes in the water. You'd have to whistle them out, like, nope, can't do it. So I guess that would also mean, Tyler, I guess that surfing wouldn't be able to happen. You're on your surfboard. I don't
right.
know, maybe.
So we got sent an updated article.
Okay.
I think it was from, okay, so it's from May 16th. So that's the same.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago. And a lot of, like I said, a lot of people are saying that they were at the beach today.
But not in the water.
So the one said they were. So I, I guess it's city to city.
Oh, okay.
Or town.
Which is what I just said.
Yeah, I guess it's mostly town to town for now.
All right.
I'll keep you updated, though.
Yeah, do. I'd just be curious. Oops. I did see that you said people felt that the distancing was pretty good. And I have great appreciation. I will say, I've seen a lot of people, even with the takeout, walk-up, the takeaway cocktails, I appreciate that. I see most people definitely wear their masks. And that's a change in ourselves as taking care of one another. Because you're doing it to help not just yourself, but to help somebody else. And I think that has been a change that has drastically caught on, that in the beginning, I think people had pushback to. And now it's just part of what you do. You leave the house, you make sure you have a mask. And you wear it. And you go into a store, you're wearing it. You know, you're walking down the street, generally speaking, I'm wearing it. You know, maybe you take it off, take a sip of your coffee or something. But so I think, you know, people have done a good job in changing behavior with at least that particular thing during COVID-19. 610-632-0975. What are your summer activities? How has the way we are right now, meaning not completely reopened, how is it impacting you and your family? Because school is about to finish for most kids. And even though they haven't been in the school building, they have been doing school work. You know, I'd be interested if people will try to have kids do more summer school work, just because, not all day, but like during the week, just to make sure they have some kind of discipline, since you can't be part of most camps that I've seen. Maybe there are some camps that will be allowed to open up, but by and large, I know the ones that my youngest son has gone to for the last couple of years, both of those are definitely out. So that's not going to happen. And like I said, pools aren't opening. And if you can't go in the ocean, that'll be even all the more reason the kids are going to want to stay inside, because once it starts to get hot, there's no way to cool off in the water. That will be another interesting thing. 610-632-0975. How are you spending your Sunday afternoon? Are you able to enjoy this good weather? How are you doing after what took place across the city and other cities through the last 24 hours? And really, actually, it's longer than that, dating back to Monday's horrible Minneapolis killing of George Floyd and what has happened since. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
D-Line, I'm with you until 4 o'clock. And, you know, you hope that things improve. Unfortunately, that is not the case with the city of Philadelphia. And this just came because I live in the city, that now the city is closed from, closed the bridges in and all the center city streets. You cannot drive in them. And so, because things continue to, the violence continues, and all of this, which originally we were talking about a peaceful protest, and now 24 hours later, the chaos and the violence is still ongoing. And so now Mayor Kenney has shut it down, and they've actually also called in the National Guard. So I say be safe, people, and we hope for better days soon. I had seen on the TV, Tyler, that he had spoken. I didn't realize that, obviously, for myself, the reason I found it is because my family is making sure I know that getting home is not going to be I mean, they're letting you if you're a resident, but you got to just go home and get in your house. So this is unfortunate. All right. Well, we've had some good conversations here today. That's the good news. We started off with Matt Cord, the great PA announcer and DJ on our sister station. Also, we had a nice conversation with Adam Talaferro, who played football at Penn State and suffered. I cannot believe that's been 20 years already. It's coming up 20 years in September. A spinal cord injury that left him paralyzed, and through a lot of hard work on his part and great rehab, he is able to walk, and he's went and got his law degree, and he's been part for the last 5 years part of the New Jersey General Assembly. So he gave us some good insight into how we can start to make a difference in our own communities about doing away with the racism that currently exists. And then we just talked to Billy Cunningham about the 1983 championship team, because they accomplished that feat on this day 37 years ago. So we've had a mix of things. And I know a lot of people are preoccupied with just trying to figure out life and community and where we're going and what we're doing. And so I understand that. If you are able to be out and enjoying the outdoors today, I invite you to share with us, because we like some good thoughts right about now. And also, I'm curious, like, would sports be able to be helping us in this time? It wouldn't take away what happened Monday in Minneapolis. It wouldn't change that. And I don't think it would change attitudes, but would it be helping in any way? And does the absence of that, does the coronavirus shut in? Is there anything, because of what we're currently in prior to the terrible things that have happened over the last week, is it also added to it because of this virus and what our community has had to be since the middle of March? And I think the combination is just, it's a really low point right about now. 610-632-0975. And where are you? Where can you go to kind of say, let's regroup? What can we do to help each other? you know, and people, I've said to the point about not so much what's happening. I was looking more at this summer and what people will do just because of the coronavirus part of it. But I was thinking for people who have families and, you know, kids and seeing various things that are happening. You know, those are conversations that are hard, and you want to try to help make sure people don't feel, you know, that you want them to feel safe. There's enough worry right now, and I think it's just escalating. I don't know, Tyler. I'm at a loss right now because it seems like the only thing happening is trying to get the world under control.
It's a difficult time right now.
There's just no other way to say it, and that's the way it is. You know, you kind of hoped that you were going to wake up and something better was going to start to happen, and I don't know how that's going to manifest itself. I really don't.
I think the only way that it does is to recognize and stop the spread of total racial injustice at this point.
Sure,
I mean,
but how do you?
It's evident.
Oh God! I mean, that's yes. But how do we? I mean, it needs to see some kind of action, and that's what I think is the most difficult thing here. The action. What would stop right now? What could be done in this moment? I mean, for me personally, would help if the other three people involved were also held accountable and arrested. I mean, that's a crime that was committed.
I would agree. I've asked multiple times to, you know, how do I help? How can I help? I want to, and I'm not sure how.
Right.
And
which is why we also asked that to Adam, because it has to start, I guess, at some kind of community government level, right? And to not allow things that we've seen happen. But by the flip side is eventually we have to get control of our society and create a safe place for everyone. And in this moment, it doesn't seem like many places are safe for anyone. And it's tough. It's really tough. 610-632-0975. I hope that people are just going to go home and, you know, stay inside, think to yourself, how can, as Tyler just said, you want to help, how can I make a difference? Maybe just, you know, just everybody try to send good energy out, because there definitely needs to be, you know, it's interesting. We use the phrase when the coronavirus hit and things had everybody hit pause or had a stop. Well, now would be about a good time as ever to hit stop, reset, but reset in a totally, totally different way. And it's going to be necessary, and it needs to be swift, and there needs to be some strong leadership to start to make this happen. 610-632-0975. I'm trying to think coming up this week, because I don't want to just kind of stay on this one thing, though it's affecting everything people are doing today. So, you know, you can't just go out and be doing regular life. And that's the other thing. We haven't even been doing regular life for the last 2.5 months. But this is taking it to a whole different level, and it's being reflected in that, you know, there's not much that you can do in this moment, meaning you just got to stay. We thought shut-in was bad. Now you're shut-in, and the whole city is shut-in and stopped. And so it's a challenge for a lot of people to regroup in this moment. 610-632-0975. Coming up this week, I did start to say this, the NBA hopefully will vote on how they will proceed with or pick up their season that stopped on May 12th. And they already had a very productive Friday meeting with the Board of Governors, and now Adam Silver and the Players Association will, I guess, bat around the best of the postseason plan and pick one of them. And we are anticipating that that will be voted on this week. And then, you know, sometime during the summer, hopefully there will be NBA basketball that we could not see in person, but we will be able to watch on TV because they will all be down there at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex that Disney has in Orlando. And so we can look forward to that, hopefully. And then we can also look forward to seeing what cities the NHL chooses, because it looks like they are going to choose one for the Eastern Conference and one for the Western Conference. And I kind of like the way they have the top four teams that are going to play like a round robin, and that allows any of those four to become the top seed in their conference, but you won't be any worse than four. So that's pretty good. And if the NBA does end up choosing that one, even though I'm a little more partial for the NBA going what is similar to the World Cup setup, only for that first round. But we'll see. But if they end up doing what the NHL has set up, that won't bother me either. And again, I think that we know that these are just ways to pick up the season for this year. And then if they want to implement change with their schedules and their postseason moving forward, then that can be revisited. But I hope everybody understands that they really only have to do this for this year. 610-632-0975. Alan, sit tight. I'll get back to you on the other side. Want to be able to have our full conversation. Drew, with you as well. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm with you on a Sunday afternoon. I really am encouraging people to please just be safe and at some point try to turn a corner. And I know there were people yesterday who were saying, you know, wow, I love my city. I love my city. And we do. So we need to continue to think about how we can make everyone feel comfortable, taken care of, and, you know, that they want to love this city too. And do it as a group. All. Let's check in with Alan in Belmar. Alan, how are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Well, you said you got full conversation. I've been accused of being full of it a few times in my life, so that was very fitting, I think, there. I'll tell you, Dave, it's horrible here. I'm listening to you, and I got the TV on, and the looting, they're just gangs of 30 and 40 people, and even though they know the helicopters are over top taking pictures of them, they don't care. They're just robbing stores. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult time right now, for sure.
Yep, you'll see it all tonight on the news, I'm sure, but anyhow, when I called yesterday about Roy Halladay early, and then you got into all the DeJuan Wagner stuff in there, I was chomping at the bit, but I'd already called, so I said, well, I have to wait another day here to get it in, but I'm very familiar with some of those situations there, and when you mentioned when he, you know, he scored the 100 points over
Gloucester. Yes.
The Gloucester Tech team, and they beat by 90 points. And I've talked to Clarence Turner, who was the coach over there for years and years, a legend, and then he had some mental issues, I believe, at the end, whatever. But I had a half an hour conversation one time, you and he and I together, and I didn't know him except to say hello to, but I wish I'd have had that thing taped because you wouldn't believe it. But I mentioned to him, as far as Greg Barr, who had scored 94 points, you know, the record before Wagner.
Yes.
Now, Greg Barr was about a 6'2.5" guard, but he could jump through the building real strong, and Camden would pressure the whole game. I mean, he was all state and all this and that. And so I said to Turner one day, I said, you know, Greg Barr, the beginning of the year, signed with Iona at Division One. And I said, Coach, I said, why? He's posting up other guards 6'2.5" in the low post. I said, don't you think you should give him a chance to learn this game from 20 feet away from the basket where he's going to have to play in college? Wagner fan, and by the way, I'll mention his son in a minute or so, but Wagner, they win by 90, and he's still in the game with 3 minutes to go. Now, what? I'm hypothetically...
Had he already scored the 100?
He scored the 100, and then there was 3:49 left in the game when they took him out. So I can see, I guess, they want to hit the 100. But when you're winning by 90 points, the other team gets a little upset. And I've seen it happen where somebody will low bridge somebody just for their 5 minutes of fame or the 12th man on the other team. And it's how are you going to explain that to his parents or the whole following of the school's basketball team?
It's interesting that you bring that up because what came up yesterday after hearing that, and I said in many of these games where you know, somebody scores that many points, the 194, whatever we want to say. There was another guy, Pete, that scored 100 points back in the 60s that a gentleman told us. But the score is always lopsided. And then it brought up Lisa Leslie was trying to get a scoring record in high school in California. And she had 69 points at the half. And the other team did not come out of the locker room for the second half because the coach was absolutely appalled.
Yeah, I mean, they were getting killed at halftime, you know, by 60, 70 points. And
yep.
I mean, you know, that's when them sophomores should be playing and you know, getting game experience and all that stuff. But I've seen it happen where a guy got low bridge one time and he shouldn't have been in the game, and the other team's football player, like the 11th man on the other team, just undercut him and he goes flying in the air. Luckily, he didn't get hurt too bad, but you could break your leg or back or something at that time. But anyhow, so the Greg Barr thing, he had a half decent career at Iona. He averaged about 13 or 14 a game, but he just wasn't prepared, you know. He should have been more prepared to learn the college game, especially when you're winning by 70 or 80 points. And what's very ironic about the game, he scored 84. It was against the Highland high school team over here in South Jersey. What had happened, and this came right from a coach's mouth, who was Ida Grilly, but I got it out of him. And here it had happened the baseball season before. Highland High School had beat Camden High by like 20 runs. And the problem is Camden High has a lot of great athletes and they go out for track, but they don't go out for baseball. So they have an inferior squad as far as baseball goes. And Highland, I know the people involved, they weren't running up. It was called after 4.5 or 5 innings, whatever, but that's how many runs they scored, you know. So this was their way of getting back the next year in basketball.
Ah,
where he let Greg Barr in to score 94 points to get back for the baseball team. Ha, ha, ha.
I see. I just tried to look up his stats. I could only find his Iona info, but Greg Barr is there.
He probably averaged 10 to 15 a game, something like that.
Yeah. A nice career, we call that, right, Alan?
Yeah,
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, Wagner's son, who's a freshman this year, at Camden.
Yes.
He is the real deal. He is a brilliant student. He doesn't change his expression. He's had a lot of AAU experience. He might be the best of the three.
Wow, good for him. I said to Tyler yesterday, I said, I'll be interested because as a freshman, you still don't know what his body's going to be like. And his dad, DeJuan was like a thick, stocky, you know, he had some muscle to him, but Milt had the height.
Milt was 6'5", I think.
And so I'll be interested to see what the son ends up in terms of physical, because I think he's not done yet. He's only, you know, freshman in high school.
I'll tell you, he's a freshman. He's a good-looking young man. He might be 5'11 at the most and weigh 150 at the most.
Yeah, he's definitely, he looks very lean.
He can go with both hands, and he doesn't change the expression. He's so experienced. I mean, and they only lose one senior. So if they get the season the next year, they'll be, have a chance to be, you know, ranked big in the state, maybe even nationally. But, like I said, had a great career. They only had one loss this year. I happened to see that game, Camden High. They got beat by Roman, who puts out the great teams every year.
Yes, they do. Oh, that's good to know. I'm going to watch them.
Well, Roman had this kid, Doran, D-O-R-E-N, who was a sophomore, like 6'9½", and he just dominated. He's a beast. And I just read in the paper about 3 weeks ago, with the coach's blessing there from Roman, he's gone to IMG Academy in Florida for his last 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So you will see him. He is one of the better big men that I've seen the last 20 years. And like I said, his last name is Doran, so somebody to look out for, I think. He'll be a super stud, to be honest with you.
Alan, always a wealth of information. Enjoy and be safe.
That's my nickname. Wowie, a wealth of worthless information.
I appreciate it. I resemble
that remark, and have a great day.
You do the same. Thank you so much. What a nice guy. All right, let's check in with Drew in Westchester. Drew, how are you, and thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, D, how you doing today?
Doing all right.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a crazy world we're living in right now. That's all I can say.
It certainly is.
Scared to even want to go out anymore. I mean, before they knew with this virus and everything, and now we have this nonsense going on. It's I don't know what to tell my kids. You know, I tried to, you know, shield them from this, you know, type of nonsense that they're showing on TV right now. You know, watching this, you know, people just, you know, banging windows and trying to loot stores. And I didn't realize it was going on in Philadelphia. I was like, wait, this is here? This is live in Philly? This is going on now?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah,
it's nuts. And I think, you know, sports, or just, you know, sports would probably be a big help right now, or some type of distraction. I think people in general are just so built up with frustration of not being able to do anything. And just, you know, the whole staying at home and watching TV, you know, for 2 months or however long it's been, I think just people are just, they're over it now. And maybe if sports were on, that would give them something else to watch now. You know, maybe everyone's too Netflixed out and watched everything they can watch. I don't know. It's just, it's scary, D. I don't know what to do.
It is. Well, the incidents of racism that have happened way too close in succession, the, you know, Arbery down there in Georgia, and then the girl, and then the Central Park incident, and then, you know, obviously George Floyd. So, I mean, that's just it, in to your point that it's been a rough go of it for a lot of people. Take the racism aside for a second, in terms of people losing jobs. People, you know, having to, not knowing if they're sick or not, people losing family members because they were sick with this, people not knowing where, you know, how am I going to pay my next bill here? And then on top of it, seeing such a still divided country in 2020. So
yeah, it's a shame we can't all come together, you know, especially in this time of, you know, COVID and everything. I thought we were trying to do a good job, and then all of a sudden it just seems like this major wave of racism, and it's just, it's always been there.
As I've seen a number that's been said a couple of different ways, and I had some articles. One was that I liked from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in the LA Times, and another one that I really thought was well done in the Players Tribune, but, you know, that it has come to such a head for decades, hundreds, too long. And
really, yeah.
And that's where we are. And, you know, it needs action of real change. That's what.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and just to try to bring it back to sports a little bit, I do think that, you know, sports would would help in this time, you know, at least.
Right, because everybody, right, like we do try, and I think we have in past as a country. And I saw the mayor of Atlanta was on this morning. She's, I think, so eloquent when she speaks and very smart. But she has said there are times that we have done this well of coming together as a country. And I think of times when sports, like, let's just go to 9/11, and sports was a big part of healing at that time.
Right, it was, yes, absolutely.
So I don't know if that will be part of how we begin to heal here, but it seems like certainly people in the sporting world want to be a part of change, and maybe that will help as well. That and bringing right. sport back into, you know, the fold, meaning that you can actually play sport again.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll see hockey soon in July.
Yes, I know. Last thing before I let you go, because I was reading, I'll be curious where they pick their, it seems like they're going to pick two hubs, one for
right.
each conference. I'd be curious how they decide what where it is.
I saw Pittsburgh was actually in the running for one of the teams or one of the cities. So I'd be surprised if they might get chosen. I thought Columbus was another one that might be a good spot, but we'll see where they choose two cities that works for me.
I'm very interested. I really am.
Yeah, no, I'm psyched for that. So something to distract us would be better than something, anything. Just we need something.
I hear you. Drew, take care of yourself. I appreciate
it
always.
Too,
have
Thanks.
A good rest of your Sunday. Thanks for calling The Fanatic. All right, we'll take a break. Mike, we'll come back to you on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.